like to invite you over to the book of Judges this evening, chapter 8, verse 22. Judges chapter 8, verse 22. Judges chapter 8, verse 22 reads this way. It says, "Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, Rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's son also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, knowing the truth that where two or three are gathered in your name, that there are you in the midst. So we ask, Lord, that you bless and guide us with your Holy Spirit, bless your word, and build your church, Lord, here at Northwood Baptist Church. We do ask that you bless all your churches and all your missionaries, but we especially ask that you do a work in our hearts and minds that we might understand more of your great grace and the power divine that you've given to us and indwelt us with through the Holy Spirit. Bless tonight, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Right up front, I want you to know I'm not doing a series in the book of Judges. Amen. It just worked out that way. In fact, I was studying some messages over in the New Testament, but the Lord just ended up calling me back here. But the title of the message here tonight is simply, "The Lord Shall Rule Over You." That's an important truth. The Lord shall rule over you. The heathen never really call upon the Lord to rule over them, but it's a sad testimony when God's people don't call on God to rule in their lives. And here we have the people of God asking Gideon, "Lord, we want you, Gideon, to rule, and then we want your son, and then we want your son's son, and your son's son," and on and on and on. They thought that that would give them what they were enjoying, and that was liberation and freedom from the oppressors, but they forgot that that comes with an understanding of who God is in our life. The reason why people are blessed is simply because God is involved. The Bible says that sin is a reproach to any people, but listen, those who are submissive to the Lord, God says that He blesses and He causes them to be the light of the world, and so we are thankful for that. And it's easy for God's people to miss that. So tonight we want to consider an important question. Who is it that we want to rule in our lives? Who is it that we want to rule in our lives? Or maybe it would be better worded, whose authority are we willing and wanting to honor? That's important, the authority of God. When God says something, do we debate it? Is it up for discussion? That's what caused Eve to sin. She already knew what the Word of God was, but see, she began to use human reasoning. She began to think about the things that Satan was telling her. Hey, listen, that's good to eat, and you'll like it, and oh, you'll just be like God. And so she began to compromise. She all of a sudden took God off of the authority and began to contemplate, well, I might like that. Maybe I'll do that, and she did, right? And so likewise in our lives, we need to be careful that we understand God's authority. Listen, God forgives sin, but when we undermine God's authority, we move into another realm altogether, completely. And so we have an example of that, of Dathan and Korah, who sided against Moses, and God called them out. And it wasn't Moses, it was God's authority. Moses was simply an instrument. You and I are instruments, but when we reject what God's will and God's way is, whether we agree or understand it completely or not, we put ourselves in a very dangerous and a very precarious way where we're given over to those things and we reap the problems of those things. Look at our nation. God, you know, do you remember the day that they were contemplating? Not contemplating, they did it. We want to take the Ten Commandments out of the schoolhouse. They even wanted to take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouse. And they're not stopping. They're trying to take the Ten Commandments out of God's house. Amen. And what happened? Well, look at our society. Now we're good. Now we're a whole lot better off today than we were 20 years ago concerning crime, because we took out God's authority. What God said, this is it. I mean, there's no... murder is wrong, right? Murder, you can't justify it. And yet we are trying to do that.
look at what's taking place in our society. We weren't a nation like that, say, some 20 years ago. And as you look back, things were not as bad, and we're progressively getting worse because we are rejecting the authority of God. And so we want to be careful about that. And tonight, I just want to just go through four quick little thoughts here. And I would challenge you to go back and go through chapter 8 here. In fact, I would have you go back through chapter 7. That's where the victory was won. We're not going to get back into that. But I do want you to see the men of Israel's choice. Look at verse 22. The men of Israel said unto Gideon, "Rule thou over us, both thou and thy sons, son, and thy sons also." And notice what they say here. They're even misguided here. It says, "For thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian." Do you remember where Gideon was at when God found him? Was he a mighty man of valor? Was he doing great exploits for the people of Israel? He was hiding behind the wine press, threshing out his wheat, right? And so God found him because he realized that, you know what, he knows who I am. He respects my authority. And if you go back there, he begins to say, "Hey, listen, if you're with us," he reflected back, he says, "Why is all this happening to us? And I remember everything I've been told when you freed us out of Egypt." He wasn't denying the Lord. He was not disrespecting his authority. In fact, he went back and forth with the Lord that he might have it settled in his heart and mind about trusting the Lord and God really being with him, and he's going to do this. And God amazingly gave him exactly what he needed to move forward for the glory of God. God will also give all of his people exactly what we need if we want to be serious with the Lord. But listen, we can't play with God. We can't have our interests in the world and in the things of the world and be negligent of what God says is right and wrong. In other words, we cannot just evaluate. We're in the world, we're not of the world, but we can't sit back and say, "Well, maybe God was wrong on this." That's what we're, if we're contemplating, you hear the old cliche, after all, everybody's doing it. And everybody's not doing it. God has reserved for himself those who are serious about the honor and the glory of God. So here we find the men of Israel's really misguided heart, because they were delivered from the Midianites, but really what they needed deliverance was from themselves, because they set up and began to worship Baal. And they had groves and they had altars and they were doing all these things. And God allowed this on his people because he loves them, to bring them back to himself. Likewise, the world doesn't understand it, but God loves you and I as well. And he's a jealous God, and he has the right kind of jealous. The world would say, "Oh, I thought jealousy is a bad thing." Not when everything and anything that God does is right. Even if I don't understand it. Now, that bothers the world. You know why? Because they're given to their own reasoning. They've not received a vision of the holiness of God. When God reveals to you personally your need of salvation, that settles a lot of things, doesn't it? When you see your sin before the Lord, and when you say, "Oh, God, save me," however, whatever the prayer was that you said to receive the Lord, and he saves you, you've come in contact with the holiness of God. Amen. To see your own unrighteousness, and to be able to set aside all the things that you thought were good to just look to the blood of the Lamb. And then when you receive, that's an experience that says, you know what, listen, the world is backwards. I was backwards, right? And I'm still dealing with some of my own thoughts, but I want to be yielded to the authority of God, because I've learned this. Listen, I was blind, spiritually speaking, and could not see until God opened up my eyes. And I praise, I would have never given myself that insight, that spiritual insight. I could never have done that unless the Lord has done that for me. So I praise God for his mercy and his goodness to me, and I am convinced more and more every day, not less and less, more and more every day, that God knows everything about everything, and he knows exactly what needs to be done, and I want to support that. I want to adhere to that. And like I mentioned, I think it was Sunday morning, that's what made the difference in the relationship between David and Jonathan. They honored God. That's what was leading them. And if you look to all of the people that did anything for the Lord, they had honored and revered and had reverence for God's authority. You remember the Apostle Paul when he was blinded? And who was the fellow that came and helped him? Was it Ananias? Remember, he was blind? You don't hear anything more about him. Do you know that Paul was a giant concerning his intellect? Do you know he was a giant concerning his authority? Do you know that he was a giant as far as his notoriety and fame amongst the people? How in the world did this man of great stature, not physically, but this man of big achievements, humble himself to listen to little old Ananias? Ananias was a nobody, but he was a child of God, that God was telling him what to do, and God told Paul, I'm sending you Ananias, right? And you know what? That was all Paul needed after meeting the glory of God. You know what? This man comes with the authority of God. He didn't reverence Ananias and listen and adhere to what he was saying because of who he was. He was listening to him and what he was saying because of who God was and is. Amen? So great things are done, and when we can get past people and see God, that's a big deal. Well, listen, the Israelites could not get past Gideon. They just saw Gideon. No, it was God. It was Gideon's God that delivered them. And so when God says something, and that's what caused David not to put his... Everybody would have been on board if David would have killed Saul. Everybody would have said he had it coming, wouldn't they? And yet the law was, thou shalt not put your hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. And even after Saul's death and the Amalekite, I mean, isn't that amazing? He spared the Amalekites. An Amalekite came by when Saul was dying. And this Amalekite said, remember he brought the crown and the bracelets, and he thought he was going to get a present from David by saying, I killed him. And he mourned. David mourned, and all the people. And he waited till later on in the evening. And then he told one of his soldiers, how did you think that you could put your hand on God's anointed and be guiltless? And he called one of his soldiers to come. He said, out of your own mouth, you pronounced your own judgment. Why? Why was that so important? Because David feared and respected the authority of God. You want to know what's missing really today is a reverential fear and respect for God and his authority. I don't question one thing in the Word of God. Now, I will tell you, there are many things I don't understand. But the fault and the failure is on my part, not God's. So this is the men of Israel's choice. Then I want you to see Gideon's redirection. Look at verse 23. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you. I don't even think he wasted a breath, do you? I don't think there's... As soon as they got done saying... And by the way, don't you think the men of Israel, they thought, oh, he's going to love this. We want you to rule. Not only you, but we want your son and your son's son and your son. Oh, man, his chest would have popped if it wasn't spirit-led. And Gideon said, I'll have none of that. Notice what he says here. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you. Don't you know that was a shocker? The carnal mind cannot receive the things that are spiritual, not even amongst God's people. Neither shall my son rule over you. Notice what he says. The Lord shall rule over you. Gideon, with all of his faults, had one thing that God respected, and that was a reverence for God's authority. And so we need to be careful, even in this, that we don't produce an Ishmaelite. You know what? Remember Ishmael, right? That was when Abraham and Sarah. You know, we got this. God says, "Son, look, Sarah, listen. There's a lot of spiritual applications here. Sarah, you can't have any more children. I can't have any more children. No, I can have children. You can't have any children." So Sarah says, "I got this plan. I can't have any kids, but you can." God waited for both of them not to be able to have kids. before Isaac came along. And so Hagar came into the scene, and it's been enmity, hatred one for another. You know why? Because the Ishmaelite is a picture of the flesh. And Isaac is a product of the spirit. Because man didn't create Isaac, God did. Because they both couldn't do it. All right, so verse 24 says this. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you, that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey, for they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. This is a problem. Notice what happens here. This was Gideon's idea. He had a respect for God's authority, but he came up with this brainstorm of an idea that was all wrong. And he answered, verse 25, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man his earrings of his prey. And then notice what it says right here in verse 26. And the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside ornaments and collars and purple and raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about the camels' neck, their necks. And Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went thither, listen, a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. What happened? Well, he got in front of God, didn't he? And we're not going to go through all the verses, but we need to be careful that we don't produce an Ishmael that takes our heart away from God. And the last thought is a result, plural really results, when God is not our authority. Verse 33, and it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, verse 33, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto them. So they weren't even kind to him. Gideon said, the Lord shall rule over you. May we say, wait, listen, let's not speak it in word only, but let's be careful that we respect God's will and God's word, which is God's way. God says, this is the right thing, this is the wrong thing. And may we humbly say, oh God, we need you to do this. Because God doesn't even want us to do the right thing in our strength, does he? He wants us to call upon him. Lord, show me. Solomon was a smart man when he said, I don't know how to come in and go out. And may we also do likewise, so that the Lord can rule us and guide us. And he leads us into green pastures, amen? And he establishes our goings and our comings, and really brings fulfillment, peace, and purpose to life when we seek him. Would you stand as we dismiss in prayer and move forward to our prayer time? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you for your word, the understanding that it brings to our hearts and minds. Lord, may we truly have a reverential respect and a regard for your authority and your word, Lord. May you build Northwood Baptist Church up to be dependent upon not our understanding, but your rule, your word, and your authority. Bless us, we break off for prayer and build again Northwood Baptist Church for your honor and glory. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.